Hello, I'm Luis Hernandez, and welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. Jim Moran has been with the Miami Herald since 1978. He won his first Pulitzer Prize for his political cartoons back in 1996, and this year, it was just announced actually last week, he won his second Pulitzer Prize, and he joins us via Skype from his home in Maine. Jim, welcome back to the
Hey.
Thank you for sticking around. Come on, Maine. What's the temperature like up there now?
It's gorgeous. It is beautiful today. It's just gorgeous.
Tell me, you don't miss this. Come on.
I'll tell you the reason why we had to move is that my wife has allergies, and the allergies were seasonal up until a certain point where she just was ill for almost the entire year. And so she really just couldn't take it anymore. So, you know, so I said, well, let's try Maine. You know, I knew Maine from the time I was a kid. So, it's a wonderful place to live, and a lot of things in common with Florida, believe it or not.
Well, I will say this. I understand the allergies part, but you know what? It's called wintertime, average temperature, 79 degrees. I'll stick with that for right now. You know what? I wanted to know, Jim, I never had the chance to meet you. I'm always at the Miami Herald office, because you went to Maine before I got here.
Yeah.
When did you become a political cartoonist? And is it something that you decided to do or you kind of fell into?
A little bit of both, actually. It's when I grew up, my family is very political. They were big into Republican politics in Massachusetts, which is kind of funny. And I at the same time love cartooning. So I was in both worlds, you might say. And it wasn't until the Watergate scandals happened, there was a resurgence in popularity of political cartooning, because the work was, I mean, it was such a great time to be drawing about it. And so I started seeing all this great work from people like Pat Oliphant and Jeff McNally and Paul Conrad. And I was inspired to take a look at it. And my mom eventually said, why don't you try it out? And we had a great newspaper at Syracuse University, where I was going to school, just 5 days a week, which is very, very rare for college newspapers. But it was perfect for me, because I could eventually draw 5 cartoons a week and amass a pretty good-sized portfolio of work to apply to papers, after I graduated.
Do you remember your first cartoon ever?
Yeah.
Wow. Come on.
I remember my first published cartoon.
Okay.
And it had to do with Nixon running down the stairs. But I can't remember the caption. But they actually approached me before I could approach them. I had a couple of friends that worked on it. And I started off doing one, and then I started doing 2 a week, and then 4 a week, and then I just threw away all my studies and started doing 5 a week, because I fell in love with it.
Think about your first Pulitzer back in 1996.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about what was going on that year, and I was, oh gosh, I was finishing up college. But what were some of the big, remember some of the big stories for you that impacted your work in that year? That was,
good
of,
Lord.
Of course, when President
well, Clinton.
Yeah. His second term, winning his second term.
Right. And he also, I think some of the Monica Lewinsky stuff was just starting to sort of pop up, I think. I know that there was something on a baseball strike that is in there, and Clinton intervened, and it was probably the most popular thing he ever did. I can't remember some of the things, there's a lot, I suppose, but I can't remember it offhand. It's a long time ago, 21 years ago. And it's this Pulitzer, the second Pulitzer, was a real, real shock. You know, I didn't expect it at all.
And how did you find out?
I just found out from the announcement. The minute they say your name, I think I had an inkling that that I might be a finalist, and that's kind of leaked out to me. But I had no idea until they actually spoke it, and that's a heck of a feeling.
What's the difference between winning it back in 1996 and winning this one?
Social media. That's the big difference. That really has been amazing. I mean, the number of emails that I've gotten, and I'm a big Twitter fan, and got about 1,500 followers in 2 days, and that's just made it an incredible. And I think back in 1996, you get a couple of phone calls and a couple of letters, and that's it.
But what about for you personally, though? Winning that first one compared to winning this one?
The first one I was, we were all kind of, you're always kind of going after it. Now this is later in my career. I'm, 64 years old, and I've been doing it a long, long time. So when I entered the Pulitzer, I wasn't, I would just kind of, it's sort of like a crapshoot. Maybe I'll win, probably not, but
And that's interesting. You just said you're going after it, and I'm wondering, it's like it winning a Pulitzer, is it something that people want? It's important.
It is. It's probably maybe it's too important. But there's a colleague of mine named Mike Peters who said famously, the best thing about winning a Pulitzer is not having to worry about winning it anymore. And that is absolutely true for me, because there can be some pressure if you work in on a prestigious newspaper for you to win it, and they expect you to win it, but there's really not much. There's all kinds of politics involved, and it matters who's on the board, who's on the jury. I mean, it's a number of different factors that sort of come together.
Let me finish with this. I was thinking about do a little bit of history here. Is, 100 years ago or more, political cartoons were so powerful, so important because of the fact that really there was just you debated politics either from whatever essay was just published or at the local bar over a pint.
Sure.
But today's world, it's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and everything else. How important are political cartoons in today's world? Do they still
No.
hold the same sway that they
No.
used to? No.
No. And I think it's also, funnily enough, has a little bit to do with Watergate, because before Watergate, there was really, it wasn't, it was difficult to find really edgy commentary. After Watergate, there were more people getting into it and doing very daring work. You had people like, and not just cartoonists. You're talking about comics and satirical reviews and all kinds of stuff. And so our competition really is Jon Stewart and Saturday Night Live,
It's a lot more than before.
a lot more than before. I mean, it wasn't as mainstream way back then, and it's very difficult for us to compete with that, because they hold a certain advantage over us in a number of different ways.
I want to, I because I'm running out of time. I don't want to let this opportunity go without asking you. This is a bit off topic, but as we finish
Sure.
up here, I noticed that this is the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper album. I heard you're a big Beach Boys fan, and I'm just curious, in 10 seconds, come on, what's the better album? Pet Sounds, Sgt.
Oh
Pepper.
no, that's an easy one. Pet Sounds. Without Pet Sounds, you would not have had Sgt. Pepper. If you don't believe me, ask Paul
All right. That you know what?
McCartney.
I think you can't lose with either without I can't you can't lose with either one. They're both great.
I've already ordered
All right.
it.
Jim Morin, he is the editorial cartoonist for the Miami Herald, now two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. Jim, enjoy the weather up there.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
All right, finally on the roundup, it's April, and that means WLRN is partnering with O Miami Poetry Festival for National Poetry Month. We're asking you to write a poem about food, an edible ode. Food links us together, it connects us to where we are from and where we are.
Hi, my name is Mariana Martinez, and I'm from Miami. The name of my edible ode is Anchovies? Not allowed. Forage fish are foods for our foods, but not foods for our mouths. And that means anchovies, all kinds of anchovies, from freshly caught to salt cured, do not belong on pizzas, pastas, salads, burgers, pies, and in summary, nothing.
Hi, my name is Sophia Hudisi, and I am from Miami. The title of my poem is Media Luna. The flavor of dulce de leche is almost as tasteful as saying it. Our language has taste buds that span dishes and go farther than a media luna. Pastries are an innate dialect.
All right, please submit your edible ode. You can do it. Write your poem to WLRN.org/odes. Deadline is April 18th, so it's almost here. And again, the serving size, 40 words or fewer. And that's the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.